Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday the 5th of October. How the Jerry hell has this happened? We're heading towards Christmas, Luke. What's going on, mate?
Yeah, for me, October is when you first start contemplating the prospect of Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, or just thinking about coats you're going to wear, reasons you're going to wear them, where you're going to wear them, maybe thinking about getting a new coat. Actually, this is around about the time that I put my winter coat on, realise I've got a load of spare change and money from last year, and I feel a little bit flush.
Do you know what I'm thinking about?
Yeah, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about your love tonight, today, and always.
You're in a really singing mood. You started singing DJ Otzi at the start of the record before I clicked begin.
All the classics.
So you've gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, haven't you?
I was talking to you, wasn't I, about the Elvis impersonator that my great aunt had for her surprise birthday.
Yeah.
The full gamut of Elvis experiences, from him turning up as a surprise, looking amazing, to him doing a second set of the night dressed in a fat suit and a jumpsuit to do the latter day Elvis. Then the...
Wearing a lair. Does he wear a lair at any point?
Wear a what?
A lair, you know, those like Hawaiian kind of...
Oh, he didn't wear one of those. No, sadly not. No, he didn't. Is that what it's called? Yeah. I didn't know that's what they were called.
Yeah.
And
it's the joke, like, get laid. I'm going to get laid. Ha ha.
And the piece de resistance, Pete, was me walking down the street after seeing him load all his stuff back into the back of his car wearing a tracksuit. So still with the haircut.
Nice. Look. So,
on to the next job, baby.
I was watching, I'm going to be recording some WrestleMania later on, and I was watching I think WrestleMania 32. They did like a compendium of old WrestleManias. And obviously Liberace was at a couple of WrestleManias. And there was a video clip
How'd you
of
spot him
wearing... You what?
How did you spot him in the crowd?
Well, he's wearing this beautiful green velour tracksuit. And I was like, God, I want that fucking tracksuit. Did you know that Liberace managed to successfully sue two or three different newspapers who outed him? And he said, I'm not actually gay. And it's like
Liberace, the most
flamboyantly gay performer in the world. He managed to successfully sue three or four newspapers for saying he was gay when he was clearly gay. Wonderful work. I mean, amazing work.
I think that's probably his, but he probably just sees it as his story to tell, though.
Oh, no, look, I'm saying amazing work. I'm saying it's fantastic that he had that story and was allowed to tell it in his own way. And I don't think he ever actually came out, but he managed to fucking go after this really horrible kind of like outy kind of press who were just looking to kind of, you know, it always describing as like this perfumed kind of...
Yeah, trying to muckrake, basically.
Trying to muckrake, saying that... And he successfully, despite being the most flamboyantly gay performer out there, he managed to successfully sue because he just... he wasn't ready to tell. It was his story. And what a fucking inspiration. Brilliant. Mm. And he made a shitload of money. He coined the phrase laughing all the way to the bank. He was the guy who coined that.
Yeah, but that sounds like the sort of phrase that loads of people claim they invented.
Well, apparently it was him.
I believe it. What people wouldn't realise about you, Pete, as well, they would be very very used to listening to you and you know, and consuming and experiencing your oeuvre and your output. Mm. But what they don't know is that you insist on performing in front of a grand piano, which you never open the lid of, with a candelabra on top, don't you? And you just speak into the box. That's how you broadcast, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I sometimes go down to a Clavanova. I'll sort of drag that into the studio.
Yeah.
If I'm interviewing someone for the first time, they're kind of confused about what's going to be taking place. Yeah, it's important.
I love a diva. I think we should have more divas. The divas aren't as good these days, are they?
No, well, it got co-opted by underwhelming kind of pop stars, didn't it? Oh, I'm a real diva. It's, and obviously, you know, it's tinged with some slightly kind of anti-female kind of bias as well. So it's kind of difficult, really. It's kind of a tainted term a little bit. And also those high-kicking wrestling divas of the late 90s to mid-noughties.
Yeah. But there's a really good interview with Mariah Carey in today's, as we record this, Monday's Guardian with Hadley Freeman. And right. I didn't fully realise the story that Mariah Carey's had, like the background she had and where she grew up and what she's become. And in that interview, she seems to really embrace the fact that she's a diva, and that, you know, and she explains the kind of her journey behind why she's like she is now. I'm not excusing her behaviour. I mean, I don't really know her behaviour, but I know that she's known as one of the last divas. And it reminded me of our friend Rick Edwards interviewing her. Have you seen that footage on T4?
I don't think I have, no.
So when Rick presented T4, which for those listening from outside the UK back in the early noughties was the kind of youth part of Channel 4 that used to go out on like a weekend morning, I think Mariah Carey was on there plugging a latest single or album or whatever. Mm. And Rick Edwards, who's a good interviewer, was interviewing her in this kind of nod to camera type way, like, how crazy is this that I'm interviewing Mariah Carey, etc. And they just start having like a general conversation. And I think it's about all the lights in the studio. Mm. And Rick says to her something throwaway, like, you know, oh God, you bet you're happy that you haven't got to pay our electricity bill. And she says, what? And he says, you know, the electricity bill for all the lights. She says, what are you talking about? And basically, to cut a long story short, it turns out she doesn't even know what her bill is. Because I guess she's never had to pay it.
That's how you become bankrupt. I mean, I don't believe that for a sec that she's never paid an electricity bill, because obviously she didn't come from money, did she? She came from quite humble background, didn't she? But I do think
maybe it's called something different.
I guess so.
Maybe it's called job.
An electricity contract. I think I think that as you can be a diva, and you can be someone who is quite difficult. As long as you treat the people around you fine, you can treat the system badly. I think that's completely
you're talking about me,
right?
Because apart from the treating people around me,
yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't mind treating you badly because you're a dreadful man.
Now, you're a bit of a diva, Donny.
Am I? Yeah.
I think so, because you would probably say that I'm more of a diva than you, but I think you are much more prone to the meltdown than me. I'm melting down.
I'm very much like I'm melting down within. I don't spray my magma on anyone else. I'm loving the fact that I'm burning myself.
Keep your magma away from me.
Yeah.
By the way, to change the subject completely, I found something amazing the other day on Twitter, and I completely forgot to talk about it last week, but I'm going to talk about it now. And I don't know if you're aware of this. I had absolutely no idea about this. I'd never really considered it before. I'll be disappointed if you already know about it, but I'm going to talk to you about it anyway. And I'm pretty sure a load of our listeners won't know about it. Have you heard the story about the euro currency banknotes?
No.
So basically, when they were designing the euro currency, obviously they had to actually design the coins and the notes and everything, right?
Mm.
And it's not something you necessarily really considered, right? But they had to do it. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to have some kind of graphic or picture on there, I guess, for artistic purposes, but also for anti-fraud purposes, I suppose, for counterfeiting reasons. And so they designed every single, if you go and look, if you've got a euro note to hand, every single note, bank note from the euro has got a bridge on it. It's a different bridge each time, right? One thing you wouldn't realize is that every single note has a bridge design on it that is a fictional bridge.
The bridges don't exist?
Because they didn't want to have to choose between countries and put people's noses out of joint and have like a diplomatic incident or whatever. So they invented the bridges, right? Then what happened was a small town in the Netherlands claimed every single one of them by building the bridges as they're designed on the banknotes over the canal going through their town.
Yeah, okay, good. That's nice. That is nice.
And the town is called Spikenissa, I think it's pronounced Spikenissa. And you can check it out. And if you look at their canal going through their town, they've got all the bridges on there. It's so weird. It's like a mad, what a mad story, like, you know.
Well, it's like really small versions of the bridges, like they look identical to the ones on the banknotes.
Yeah, just over like a regulation-sized canal, yeah. I mean, what is a regulation-sized canal?
I don't know. How big can canals get?
30 paces. And the height
I've been spending a lot...
A Shire horse.
I've been spending a lot of time in Hertfordshire and obviously there's a lot of canals up that sort of way towards Birmingham. And obviously London's one way and Birmingham's the other. But over the weekend, it was absolutely chucking it down. So a lot of them sort of burst their banks a little bit, and you know, there's a little bit of water around the sides. So it was actually quite treacherous. You know my friend Alex.
I do.
Alex Gonzala. He is.
You don't
a
normally
man
name him like
who...
that.
Do I not? Okay, his name's Alex Gonzala, and
terrified
he is a
nightmare. Of being a meme.
He is terrified. He's the man who's terrified of being a meme. He's very low effort. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
And
that's me saying that. Yeah, but I'm very much a fixer when it comes to planning holidays and little weekends away and stuff. Yeah. He has none of that. He hates all that bollocks. He just wants to drink near his house. And if he has to come into town, he's annoyed. And bearing in mind, I lived in town. You know what I mean? So I lived in the centre of London. So that's where all of the bars were. It doesn't make any sense anyway. I sort of got, let's go up Hertfordshire. We'll have a drink up there. It'd be brilliant. So dragged him and another mate up, and shit, you not right. It was the Saturday, and it was absolutely chucking it down. You know, over the weekend, I'm surprised there's still water in the goddamn air. It's insane how much water came down over the weekend, and you know, obviously a lot of flooding took place and stuff. But not only was there flooding, not only was there obviously this draconian 10 p.m. Pub closing time, so he was very upset about that. When we actually got to sit down outside to one of the pubs, the barman came over and went, "I'm sorry, lads, unless you've got a booking inside, I can't let you sit down for drinks because there is a gypsy funeral in Hemel. And all of the bars are closing to outside business because in the past, gypsies have descended on the pubs and obviously, you know, like a boozy wedding or a boozy funeral or a boozy wake can sometimes turn a little bit spicy. We just don't want, you know, they have been known to smash the windows before.
They saw and you dressed really like you probably were and thought you were part of the funeral
procession. My little suit. It just really made me laugh that the rain was coming. He got furious. Yeah,
a few cans of K-Cider and a bus stop
license. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it just made me laugh that the gypsy community prevented my friend from drinking.
Can you even say gypsy anymore?
You can say gypsy. Yeah, I think you can't. You can say gypsy.
I thought it was supposed to be the travelling community now, but I might even
the travelling community. But I think they're known as the Romany gypsies or from other places, aren't they? I think they're still good. What you can't say is what a current Six Music presenter said about 10 years ago on XFM, the P word, and the travelling community, the organisation that represents their rights, very hot. On talking about that, it's just like
as you would be.
Very 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 strange.
So listen, did you get pissed or not?
I did get pissed.
That's what people want to know.
That's what people want to know. That was my weekend, avoiding rain and not being able to drink because there was a funeral happening.
Why can't you just sit at home drinking Campari on your own like you used to?
I know. Well, I don't have a bottle. When I finished that bottle of Campari, I vowed that would be my last bottle of Campari.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just think it's too sweet. I'm a man with impending blood pressure problems. I just think I should steer clear of the more sugary side of alcohol.
Speaking of that, and you're a great person to ask about this. So recently, and I mean psychologically to me, it's been since I've turned 40, but it can't just be that. I don't think that's how your body works, that it just ticks a box and all of a sudden things start happening. I've started to get like quite bad acid and gas when I've been eating. You must have had that. What's your diagnosis, Dr. Donaldson, and what would you prescribe?
I would have prescribed Zantac, which is an excellent strong antacid.
Is that an opiate?
No, it's not an opiate. It's just fucking It's just some kind of really tightly packed antacid. But yeah, it was good. But then they fucked it by ranitidine, the active component. They couldn't supply it anymore because they couldn't guarantee the supply chain didn't have cancer causing aspects to it. So now we can't have nice things. We can't have nice Zantac. I've had to go back to the old Remagels.
What were they like?
Remagels don't exist anymore. They were like chewy, not chalky. Do you remember in the 90s?
Yeah,
it was an antacid, but it was chewy. So yeah, you just got to go with your Gaviscon, I'm afraid.
Is it any good, Gaviscon? Very basic.
Yeah, I've also got another one that I bought in Italy a couple of weeks ago. I learnt the word antiacidio.
Yeah,
which I think is antacid in Italian. Said it three times. Double checked that I was saying it correctly. Said it three times. No one could understand a word I was saying, and they just gave me. Finally, figured out what it was by me rubbing my stomach and going, "Ugh." Yeah, they finally figured out what I was talking about. So clearly, I wasn't saying it properly. Very upset.
My friend Tommy, we've been on quite a few trips together because, like, our friends will get married overseas, or we'll just go on like a week away or whatever. And he's very allergic to nuts, and so he has to take with him a little laminated piece of paper with the translation of "I am allergic to nuts" in the local language, and he kind of flashes it out of his wallet like it's a credit card or something,
like he's a member of a police force.
Yeah, but the
don't
thing
give
is,
me nuts.
I remember when we were in Turkey together. He flashed it, and the waiter kind of just kept asking him in Turkish what type of nuts, I suppose. And he just had nothing in his locker. He couldn't say anything else, and so it wasn't specifically just any type of nut. It was just all nuts. And I just felt like I would be, if that were me, I would be nervous about that, because he's been around my house before and I've served up a curry which they said was nut free and it wasn't, and he's had to go. He had to go to bed and stay at my house and be sick in my toilet and all sorts, and I felt bad about it.
Yeah, but you bloody did nearly killing your friend. Obviously, yeah.
I told him I boycotted that curry house for giving us wrong information. I haven't.
Yeah, but, you haven't. Nah. You went straight back the next day.
Yeah, straight there. It's the best one in the area. Nuttiest... What do you want me to do?
Give me the nuttiest curry. Give me the nuttiest karma you got.
But I would be really paranoid everywhere I went if that was me, because you come out of your comfort zone, and you've got friends that you know is all right, but like out of that comfort zone, you could be in real trouble, right?
Oh, I'd admit who would like be really kind of on it with a waiter. Go, listen. Are you definitely sure there's no nuts? Are you definitely sure? Because she's been served it like a couple of times and her throat's gone open and she's just been absolutely ruined by it. Like, it's so fraught with danger. And it's interesting, certainly with the peanut allergies, they don't really know why it's a relatively new thing. They reckon that it might have something to do with babies getting washed or something. I think we speak about this on the show a couple of weeks ago? Like, it's something to do with, like, washing babies daily or every 2 days. It's quite a recent phenomenon when it comes to children.
Yeah, I heard.
There's really no like proper studies that have kind of figured out why it's quite a modern phenomenon. But it fucking kills people, man. It's horribly dangerous.
Yeah. So I don't know specifically to nuts, but I certainly have read that one of the theories around the increase in allergies around things like asthma and hay fever and different bits and pieces is to do with the fact that. And it's a theory. I'm not suggesting this is the case. I don't know enough about it, but I've certainly read that it's because children are a lot more protected these days. They don't go out and do stuff. They don't. But that to me feels a bit like
on their phones.
Yeah, like an
just
old person
not living in the moment. They're on their phones playing.
Oi, you can download this moment right now with your eyes and ears, you motherfuckers. Peter, should we take a quick break and come back and do some emails, because we got some crackers today?
Let's do it, baby.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes, to open the door to Amazon. Only we watched with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
It's the second half of the Luke and Pete Show, Monday edition, gold edition, Nintendo seal of quality. How are you doing? Luke, we've got some emails from the people who deemed us worthy enough to email. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you want to get involved. I'm going to kick things off with Andrew Jones. Hello, Andrew Jones. On last week's episode, 28th of September, or the 1st of September, 1st of October, he talks about dogs sniffing out COVID. In true Luke and Pete Show of Madness, science-y, don't believe shit you read. I give you the woman who smells if people have Alzheimer's. This woman said her husband smelt, and he denied it for years and years. Sadly, he developed Parkinson's, and his smell got worse. Then his wife visited a Parkinson's conference after his unfortunate death, and it hit her. She had an obscure genetic mutation that meant her nasal senses could pick off the smell of Parkinson's. Keep with the good work. Brexit/eye surgery correspondent Andy. P.S. Mum and Dad are on the COVID vaccine trial.
No, it's Parkinson's. Which one is it?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, well, he's kind of changed, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't I thought Parkinson's was a branch of
I don't believe
she can this woman can smell she can smell both Alzheimer's, Parkinson's and cancers as well. Right, incredible.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, I mean, is that Joy Milne, her name is.
Well, it's on blog.thealzheimersite.greatergood.com/joy-smell. So look, if you can't believe that URL, what can you believe? Fake news.
Donald Trump would believe it. That's interesting, isn't it? Imagine if you could. What would you choose to smell if you could smell anything that wasn't a smell?
Ooh, wires. Probably wires. It'd be really useful to smell wires in the wall.
But that's rubbish. You could get a little LCD thing for that. You just press a button. Would you not want to smell lying or something?
Smell lying. I'd be smelling it all the time. It'd be like living in fucking, I don't know, like a horrible dirty city all
the time.
That's
just before you left the house.
I know. Lying to myself. I'd do myself in. I'd be gutted.
Do you remember an email from back in the day, and not that long ago, maybe a month or two ago, from a guy who would like to be known as just T, simply T.
T.
He is the guy who you said had, in quotes, a dildo daddy, because he found a quite large sex toy in his dad's bedside table. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Well, he's emailed with a follow-up. He says, hello, Luke and Pete. It's T here again. You may remember me from a previous dildo-infused episode. I am the anonymous emailer that was very confused to find a huge sexual assistant in my previously single dad's drawer.
Sexual assistant.
I know, that makes it sound weird. First, I would like to apologise as I've let you down. After breaking down my email, Luke set me the task of somehow confronting my dad about his hefty mate, but I just couldn't do it. If you knew my dad and his reserved, shy and well-mannered demeanour, you would know that this is just far too awkward to even consider. However, you will be happy to hear that there has definitely been a considerable second wave of his private nickname, Dildo Daddy. My original intention was to never reveal to anyone that the story had been released to the masses, but just as in the original telling, curiosity got the best of me and I once again brought a friend in on it, because clearly Luke's advice of never do that had fallen on deaf ears. Before I knew it, everyone at my local cricket club was once again reminded of the story, and I have had Dildo Daddy roared at me in Pete's accent more times than I can bear. On the bright side, though, my friends did tune in to listen to Pete sharing my story, and they liked what they heard. By my calculations, you have gained around 10 subscribers, so I'm happy I can do my bit. On a similar note to my failed task, I would just like to put a question out to yourselves and the listeners. What are the most awkward conversations people have had with parents or family members? I know if I ever have to have this conversation with Double D, don't call your own dad that.
Double D.
It will certainly jump straight to the top of my list. Thanks, Luke and Pete. Keep up the great work with the show and the rest of the amazing Stakhanov podcasts. T.
Oh, I like that one dildo has begat another and created a double-ended dildo of listenership, I think.
Listen, I would say in terms of currency exchange, us getting 10 subscribers is more than worth a man's relationship with his own father breaking down beyond repair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I completely agree with you there. What are we here for if not to ruin people's lives?
Well, he brought the story to us. We didn't go fishing for the story.
No. Yeah. It was just there.
Yeah. How, speaking of parents, how are your parents doing, Pete?
Good, yeah. I'm trying to think what my dad's been up to. He sends me a lot of pictures from quite early in the morning of snails out.
Nice.
He's also discovered Face App, you know, like where you can make your face fat and stuff. So he's been sending me a lot of pictures of him looking a little bit like a big fat Santa. There was something else that was quite surprising, but now I've completely forgotten what it is, to be honest. But yeah, he's just as mad as usual, really. Just as mad as usual.
What kind of weather have they been having up in Hartlepool? Is it under lockdown at the moment?
Yes, I believe it is, yeah. I mean, they didn't really do anything in the first place, to be fair, but they just never really went anywhere. But so of course, now they're in lockdown, they're very upset that they can't go out. It's like, you never went out anywhere.
Yeah, didn't you once buy them a holiday to Iceland and they refused to go?
Yep, they refused to go, yeah.
So if anything, like lockdown's really nothing. There's no change to them, really.
No. It's awful. Right. We got an email from Alec Lodge in Essex. I've read his full name out. I'm hoping that I'm not going to have to...
you always do that remember
because always bloody happens, isn't it? Carry on. I just need that hook of the name. Carry on from Sniffer Dog Chat on Thursday. I thought I'd share this fairly interesting story. I work for a large international shipping company, one of the big names. I wouldn't even know what a big name was. Is it Smersk or Maersk? Are they a
Cargill,
big shipping company?
That's a big one. Cargill.
Cargill, is it? Yeah. Arthur Cargill. and I used to work in the warehouse sorting parcels of all sorts from all over the world. So exciting! So exciting. They must have handled so much heroin. I've
not
since
even
moved over
it.
To be a lorry driver for the same company. I know. We would occasionally see customers come in with sniffer dogs, which is also always quite interesting. One particular day, we were told that they were coming in with the dog to sniff out counterfeit DVDs. Clearly, the dog had no idea whether they're counterfeit, but they could sniff out the discs. I was working in the area where they were using the dog.
This is fucking mad.
Yeah, and I saw it signal quite a few boxes to its handler, which the custom guys opened, and every single one had CDs or DVDs in it. Not sure if they're dodgy, but it was very fascinating. I guess dogs can be trained to sniff out anything that has a unique scent. That's the thing. The thing that gets me is, Alec... nowadays, some dogs have been trained to sniff out little SD cards, little camera cards, right? Now, they must smell exactly the same as every other plastic/metal bit of electronics out there. I can understand like magnetic tapes. I can probably understand CDs or DVDs. They've got a very specific scent, haven't they? They're plastic or
yeah.
Some kind of
I can't
vinyl-y
really understand
kind of surface.
It.
Yeah, I don't know how they can find, you know, they go to a drug dealer's house and obviously, you know, the drug dealers need some kind of data to keep hold of their information. So, and sniffer dogs have been used to, you know, go into cavity walls and find SD cards filled with data and information. It's an amazing, amazing discipline.
Well, why are they going after
discipline.
That? Go after the drugs.
I go after the drugs, yeah. We brought the wrong dog. All right, find the SD cards.
Do you reckon that's how they do it? They get a different dog off the shelf? For a different product.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you're only trained on one thing, aren't you? A very specific thing as well. So, obviously, we had the dogs of COVID, unleashed the dogs of COVID. And, yeah. They
I feel like it's
gone
too far.
Memory cards. It has, yeah.
We're getting too reliant on these dogs now. Because the thing is, I understand that they can sniff out drugs, right? That's straightforward to me. I understand that they can sniff out or find people in distress up on a mountain or whatever, or in a burning building. And they give them their little things to put on their paws so they don't burn their paws, which is amazing. And they're amazing. Mm. But I feel like, are we in danger of becoming too reliant on them? You know, is it going to get to the point where we're going to want to make dinner, but we have to get a dog in to sniff out where we've kept the food so we can get it? I mean, I don't understand how they can sniff something that's so inanimate. Like, could in theory, and if people out there know about this, get in touch, could you, in theory, train them to sniff out anything if you use something as a template? So, for example, I get a piece of kitchen roll and I say, smell that, and then go and find it. Could they find anything simple as that even?
I think they could, but that's the thing. The variation between materials, between one kitchen roll brand to the next, would mean that they probably would find it very difficult. But I think that's the weird thing about SD cards I can't understand. Because obviously there are different companies, you know, all over China and Taiwan and Korea making these cards. And like, why do SD cards smell similar to other brands of SD cards? Because presumably there'll be different manufacturing processes. Or maybe there just isn't. There's just one place making those plastic cases and that's what they can smell.
And if you're listening, and you're listening out there and you want to smuggle an SD card or two, do what I would do in that situation to evade the sniffer dogs and just simply drag them through a flowing river before you travel with them, which will put
the dog
off the scent. That's what they do in movies, isn't it? Go through the river, the dog won't catch you. If you go through a river, it can't take your scent.
It can't follow your
scent through a river. So if you're getting chased by a load of bloodhounds, perhaps, Pete, you, as a member of the working classes, have accidentally stumbled upon an aristocratic estate and they set the bloodhounds on you, and you're in this story that I've got in my mind here, you're completely naked, and you're in tears.
Yeah.
Run through a river.
I've had a day of it.
Run through a river, then get up a tree.
I've had a day with an aristocrat, yeah. Well, I'd just throw a memory card at them, and they would just be completely...
You look like a little northern golem. Yeah, leave a trail of SD cards wherever you go.
SD cards, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They wouldn't know what's hit them, would they?
This is like when I got you to eat that Nintendo Switch cartridge and you were just disgusted by the whole thing.
Yeah, I was... Do you know what? It's a testament to how little I know about technology. And I know I've got a reputation in our company for being so bad with technology. But it's a testament to how little I know is that the reason I didn't want to lick that cartridge to start with is because I thought I was going to get an electric shock.
Oh no.
Even though it's not really got a battery or any power source in it, has it?
Terrible business.
So there we go.
That's terrible business.
There we go.
All right then. That's been the Monday show. We'll be back on Thursday morning at 5 a.m. 0 hours, 5 a.m.
That's when we're going to be back. What if something goes wrong?
Oh, it'll be fine. Nothing's going to go wrong. All right, I say 7. Give us 2 hours for this.
All right, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday, as Pete says. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. We're at lukeandpeteshow on Twitter. Give us a little review if you like the show and tell your pals about it. For example, one man listening to this show today has sacrificed a relationship with his own father to get 10 subscribers to this show. That is the kind of attitude we need. We're back on Thursday. We'll see you then.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.